Welcome back to From the Sidelines podcast. We, per usual, are back. Myself, Austin White, Andy Dekoff, and Tanner Russ. We will be discussing somewhat of the typical topics this week. We'll go over our headlines in all our individual areas, what we have going on. We'll talk about some of the stock risers, teams we saw, teams or players we saw maybe in recent weeks who are maybe stepping up their game. And then we might do a little prediction area where we talk about maybe what we think may happen in league play as things are kicking off this week in basketball. So I don't know who wants to start. I suppose I can probably start if we want to go through headlines. Nobody is dying to go first. I see shakes of the head. That means I'll go first. Headlines in my area are, you just kind of go through a couple of the quick things that went on last week. You know, the Beaverton girls continue their kind of clawing their way back to the top of the heap in the Oregon girls basketball. You know, they had a bit of a rough holiday season just because in a lot of ways they went and played a lot of tough teams out of state. But they've had, you know, they had a tough loss to Clackamas early in the year, but they took down Barlow last week. And from what I gathered was fairly lopsided game, especially in the first half. I think Beaverton was, you know, had 30-11 or something like that in the first half, based on what I saw. So the Beaverton girls are kind of working their way back to the top of the heap there. But kind of more impressively to me is what the Banks basketball teams are doing right now. And I had a story last week on the Banks boys team, and I covered the girls the week prior, but the girls continue their run as they're undefeated right now. And they've kind of, you know, they're not doing it with weak competition. They defeated Corbett, who was considered one of the state championship leaders as we came into the season. They defeated them last week, I think, by 2. And then prior to that, you know, they've beaten 5 of the top 10 teams in the 3A rankings as of now. And they've also beaten 3 of the top 10 ranked 4A teams. So, you know, they're not doing it. They're not just running over weak opponents. They're beating good teams, and they've really made a name for themselves. So they are number one ranked in the 3A classification right now per the OSAA rankings. So they're definitely a team to watch and a team that's will be covering and have been covering the last couple of weeks. The boys as well, I think they're 10-2. You know, again, a bit of a mystery coming into this season, but they continue to win as they've started league play. So they too have impressed, and they're pretty high on their teams there right now. So they're in the headlines. Also, All-State football, along with soccer and volleyball, I believe, came out in the last week or so. And I've got a piece on the All-State football team, which had a number of players from a 6A perspective from the Beaverton schools and also Tigard and Tualatin, as well as a couple people from Hillsborough area. And then when you get into the lower classifications, I've got some other kids too there. But All-State football in my headlines. And then lastly, I did a feature last week on Southridge boys basketball, and I'll talk a little bit more about them later when we get into our stock rising section. But that's a team that's working their way back too. It's struggled in the last couple of seasons, and it's off to a really good start. And I'll talk more about them later. Those are my headlines for the most part as we come into this week. Who would like to go next? Andy, Austin, Tanner, what would you like to talk about? Andy, looks like he's fired up, ready to go. What do you got?
Yeah, I'll go next. You had the All-State stuff there, and I figure it might be good for me to lead in here since I had tons of players of the year in my area here. So starting off with All-State football, Sam Levitt in the news yet again, Gatorade Oregon football player of the year. Not a huge surprise there when you are, you know, a quarterback with the stats that he put up, like over 3,000 yards and 36 touchdowns, plus just a ton of rushing yards. I think 8 scores and 650 rushing yards, something like that. I mean, just crazy season. So not a huge shock to see that. You know, kind of lead the way. But, you know, he's also the offensive player of the year in the 6A All-State voting. You know, just tons of local guys making the teams there. I think West Lynn's entire offensive line made All-State, which is just crazy. Absolutely crazy to me. But you know, they had players up and down the roster who made All-State team. Had a couple other guys from the lower classifications that I wanted to shout out. Cooper Hyde from Wilsonville made first team All-State on both sides of the ball, which is pretty impressive. He was a first team wide receiver, first team defensive back for Wilsonville team that was the runner up at state. And then Ethan Finnegan of Gladstone, he also made first team All-State as tight end. I believe he made first team as a defensive lineman. Let me double check that real quick while I'm speaking here. Yep, there he is, second team. Okay, sorry. So anyway, you know, still shouts to Ethan Finnegan of Gladstone for making the 4A All-State team on both sides of the ball. Just some pretty cool, pretty great performances from those guys this year. In terms of All-State volleyball, McKenna Wiepert from Wilsonville was the 5A player of the year. Also had some other first team selections. Olivia Malding from LaSalle Prep on the 5A list. Callie Lukovich from Nelson on the 6A list. So a lot of good volleyball being played out here as well. Boys and girls soccer also had 5A players of the year. LaSalle Prep put up both 5A players of the year. So on the girls side, that was Amelia Huerta. On the boys side, that's Quentin Strange. So yeah, All-State was just a lot of local stuff for me in there. So if you are a fan of a team in my area, you probably had some All-State news going up on your websites, so check that out. Other than the All-State stuff, other headlines that I've got, actually from not from my own headline, but from our coworker Shane Hoffman. He did a cool feature on Max Juhala. He's the sixth man for this West Linn team, the boys basketball team. The one that shot up to number six in the country last week in the high school national polls. Max is a junior wing who has, you know, been not necessarily the focal point because, you know, like you said, he's the sixth man, but just kind of how he's developed into a kind of a key cog on the team and kind of how he's a piece of the future going forward, because this West Linn team is pretty senior heavy. So having a guy who's getting reps now and kind of, well, you can go read the story, but you know, it's just a kind of a feature on one of the more unsung guys on a very notable team there in West Linn. And then as for myself, I did a little feature on the Clackamas boys basketball team, which started out 10-0. And when I saw them, they won a triple overtime thriller over Liberty, which was a pretty dang fun game. And then I was able to catch up with the team a little bit after that to kind of talk to them about their hot start. So got that up on our Clackamas Review website. And those are kind of the big headlines that I had going into the week. Who wants it next?
Yeah,
Tanner,
sounds good to
what's
me.
going on in your world, buddy?
Oh, bunch of fun stuff. I got out to North Marion High School and saw the boys basketball team out there put an absolute beatdown on Scappoose last week. And in talking with the coach, they were like, Coach Tully Wagner, he said, "We did exactly what we needed to do. We got out in transition. We didn't turn the ball over a lot. We were eager on the boards." And in watching that game, you kind of got a glimpse of their 1-2 combo. They've got sophomore point guard Cole Hammack. I think he put up like 20 points in that game. And then you've got junior shooting guard Dawson Schrenk, who I knew mostly as his like role on the baseball team, sometimes starting pitcher, just like real solid athletic kid. But they both put up 20 plus in that win over Scappoose. And Schrenk hit like seven threes to get them across the finish line. So they are a dangerous combo in that Tri-Valley, and that Tri-Valley, no, not Tri-Valley, they're in the Oregon West Conference this year. And Tully Wagner had nothing but good things to say about those two, and wasn't like gonna make any bold predictions about their about their upcoming league play because they play some of the best teams in the state at 4A. So it's going to be a fun one. So glad to catch them in some non-conference play. Also got out to Jervis Girls Basketball. Saw them absolutely cook against, let me find them. Oh, against Colton. They beat undefeated Colton, handed them their first loss of the season. And big part of that was senior post Josie Schultz, who just gobbled up offensive and defensive rebounds and finished the game with 10 points. Had a myriad of blocks too. She is kind of their anchor on defense, kind of holds things together down low. First year coach Enrique Sandoval, big fan of hers as well. Very complimentary of her after the game. I talked to Josie, and she kind of, is still working on accepting that she is like a key piece of that team's offense and defense. Talked to her. I was like, so how do you feel about it? And she said, it's weird. Sometimes I'm still just like freshman Josie who has to like work to get myself into the game, and then sometimes like she really accepts it, and it was she's just cool. A grounded kid who's gonna be playing NAIA basketball at Centralia College up in Washington. So, got a future in the sport after this season is done. So both of those are gonna be up on the Woodburn Independent website. And also got to talk with Newberg wrestling coach Neil Russo about his team's win in a dual tournament this past Friday. So go check that out as well.
Austin, what you got going on?
Oh, just a couple things. First couple things to look out for. They're going to be a weekly thing. I put it on Twitter. I didn't make it a story. I put it on Twitter, though. I'm starting my little bracketology is what I'm going to call it. Hopefully each week, I really don't. I kind of just do this when I get the time to do it. But put out a projection of what the state basketball tournaments might look like. All levels, 6A through 1A, boys and girls. And obviously, it changes every single day because there's games every single day. So, it's tough to do. It's a lot of work. So you got to look at it and realize all this changed probably hours after he posted this. But still fun to do. Still kind of get a gauge of where your team is at. So you can see that online. Another thing we've started here is weekly small school report. Each of us are going to try to. We're going to take turns featuring a small school in our areas. Tanner, not Tanner. Tanner's got that on lock with all the schools scattered around Woodburn and Canby area and whatnot. So, but Wade, Andy, and myself, we've got some small schools that sometimes don't always have too much time for, but we're going to carve out some time. And the first one was this week. I looked at the Manor House boys basketball team. They took down Portland Christian pretty easily. And just kind of talked to them about their start. They lost to Napa after Portland Christian, which probably was a bit of a disappointment for them. Napa's kind of been running that 2A league that they're in, and that's kind of the standard. And Manor House was hoping to beat them. But OSA rankings still have Manor House at 3 and Napa's at 11. So who's the real winner here? But yeah, you can go read more about Manor House and what they got going on. As well, and then I got a little Benson flavor. The Benson and Jefferson girls played, which is going to decide the PIL title. Those two, they're just kind of a step above the rest of the league. And Benson won it kind of convincingly. They went up early behind their defense, and Jefferson just kind of couldn't deal with that full court press the whole first half. Second half was more even, but yeah, that first half was just all Benson, and they carried it. And then I saw the Benson boys as well. I'm going to have a feature on them. They've got Kayvon Bradford, who's one of the top recruits in 6A. He's just wild to look at. If you saw this kid on the streets, you wouldn't think he's 17, 18-year-old. I thought that last year about him. He's very strong, like just incredible. And I talked with their assistant coach after the game because Earl Clark, their head coach, his wife was in labor, so he was not at the game. Shout out to Coach Clark. Congratulations on that. Yeah, on Kayvon, I talked to their assistant coach, and he is really not getting any Division I love, which is absolutely crazy to me, because that kid's a D1 athlete. But story on him, along with his counterpart on the team, I'm not even going to try to say his last name because I just don't want. Go look it up on the OSA website. His first name is Dylan. His last name has like 20 letters in it. Maybe Andy can. Say it again.
Wong Prachan.
There you go. Thank you. Him and Kayvon, I've got a little story on them. They've played together since they were in seventh grade. And they affectionately have been nicknamed by their team Rush Hour. If you have seen Rush Hour, you will understand that joke. But go check that story out. And that'll be on the PortlandTribune.com. That is it for me.
Well, we want to jump into stock risers. Talk about who maybe in your area is making a move in the right direction. I think somebody should start that out. I think Andy might be the man there to start out with that stock rising segment.
Sure. Let's go ahead and start with the Wilsonville girls basketball team, who I have not seen up close and personal just yet. Hoping to get to them as soon as I can. Hasn't worked out with my schedule quite yet, but I've got them on my list. And especially now that they are rising up in the latest girls basketball polls that came out earlier this week, they were receiving votes. I don't think they've cracked the top 10 quite yet. But they are getting there after, you know, I'm going to say slow start because of what the record looked like. They are only 4-8 overall, but they're 3-0 in league play. And this Wilsonville team, you know, again, you look at the record and it doesn't look great. They started out the season 2-8. But then you look a little deeper at who they were playing and things start to kind of make a little bit more sense. Every single team that they've played so far is in the rankings this week, and most of them are 6A schools. So they've played teams like Clackamas, South Medford, Jesuit, Sheldon. You know, so these are some of the 6A schools. They've played Springfield and South Albany, who are number 2 and number 4 at the 5A level. So Justin Duke, the head coach, he put his team through a gauntlet. And it seems to be paying some early dividends in the NWOC because, like I said, they are 3-0. You know, the wins over Park Rose and Milwaukee, I'm not sure how much that's going to, you know, factor into, you know, beating playoff teams when it comes, you know, later down the road. But they did also beat Putnam at Putnam, and that's a pretty good Kingsman team. I think they're ranked number 5. In the state right now. So, you know, they beat them by 17 on the road. Wilsonville, they've turned something around, you know, whether that's just, hey, we were playing really, really good teams before and we were always really good, or maybe something's changed. I'm still trying to figure that out. And like I said, I'm going to try to see them as soon as I can. I'm kind of eyeballing this game next Tuesday against Hillsboro that I might go check them out at. But yeah, so shout out to the Wilsonville girls basketball team. I know a couple of the talents that I'm a little bit more familiar with. Gabby Moultrie, a freshman, she is young, coming around. She actually was the OSAA Player of the Week earlier, I think, for the last week of the 2022. So, you know, obviously, coming around there, Audrey Counts is a sophomore. Reese Holsey, another sophomore. Madeline Hawley, a junior. It's a young team. There's only one senior on this team, too. So this team kind of being able to kind of grow and take these steps as they're getting into league play, you know, could be. It's another team to throw into this NWOC race, which should be pretty good up at the top. But, you know, also planting seeds for the future for this, you know, pretty young team. So that's one that I've got there. I'll throw in my second stock riser here as well, which is the Oregon City Swim Program. They are undefeated in their first three Rivers League duels. They've beaten Tualatin, Tigard, and West Lynn so far. Tigard was the most recent of those. And they're kind of doing it with a nice balanced attack. So they've got four really notable freshmen. two on the girls' side, which is Rowan Schmidt and Devin Reeves. And they are both winning individual events, but they're also part of the undefeated relay that Oregon City's got. So they've got the 200 medley and the 200 free, haven't lost yet. And those freshmen are both part of that, along with Allie Hayes, Pally Grotjohn, and Ashlyn Watt, who is the daughter of head coach Brian Watt. And then on the boys' side, Kenji Kasabuchi and Vernon Mead also showing out as freshmen. So I, you know, in talking to Brian Watt about this team a few weeks back when I saw them, he's just really excited about how, like, the homegrown nature of it. These are all kids that are coming up through the Oregon City swim team program that he's also the coach of. So he's kind of seeing these kids as they're younger and then coming up through his, you know, high school program as well. I think he's starting to really see the dividends of that all kind of coming together. And with his daughter being a senior this year and, you know, being a really good swimmer, especially in the 50 free, and then having all these freshmen coming up and performing well, it's kind of a nice, you know, just kind of a perfect storm right now for Oregon City Swim. So a little shout out to them. They do have two big ones coming up, though, to close out the Three Rivers League season with Lake Oswego this week. And I believe Lake Ridge the week after. And those two schools have very strong swim programs too. So that'll be a nice test to kind of see exactly where Oregon City is at. But right now, you know, they are coming along, and it's these, you know, impressive freshmen who are really helping push them and get them these dual meet wins. So shout out to both the boys and girls teams and Oregon City Swimming. And those are my stock risers for this week. Tanner, who you got?
Great question. I'm glad you asked it. So here are the stock risers that I've got. I'm going to pick out somebody. It seems like counterintuitive, but just go with me. So last year, the North Marion girls basketball team finished out their season with just 3 wins. Coach Makisha Bison vacated the job. New head coach Kyle Buse, who was over at Jervis High School just down the road, came over, took over. And, you know, it showed the signs of a team that needed to rebuild. They went 1-8 in their first 9 games. But then they've won 2 in a row now. They beat Tillamook in a rematch. They beat Warrington by double-digit points. They've already matched their last year's win total and haven't even hit league play. So this is, like, definitely steps in the right direction. This team is kind of, like, putting itself together, kind of finding that identity. And they still have 3 non-league games to go. Now, one of them is against the number 1 4A team in the state, Gladstone. Probably chalk that up as an L and maybe like a learning lesson. But then they've got a couple of games where they might be able to steal some W's. They play the Dalles and they play 5A Dallas, who kind of down right now. So I think North Marion's girls program, while, you know, not elite by any means, is like showing that they're going in the right direction, making those strides to kind of get themselves turned around and kind of, you know, make themselves into a program where it's not an automatic W when you go and face them. I think that's a good sign. The other stock riser right now that I'm seeing in my area that I'll focus in on, Woodburn Boys Basketball is at the top of their conference, 4-0. They're in the middle of a really long road stretch. I think they play like 7 road games in a row. But number 1 team in the Mid-Willamette Conference. They knocked off number 2 Crescent Valley. They're now 3-1. They've got wins over Corvallis, who were 3-1 in league. They beat Silverton handily. Like, this Woodburn team looks pretty solid so far. They've got a good thing going with shooter Spencer Carsaboom, guard Cruz Valiz. They're humming, and I would not be surprised if they ended up kind of staking their claim to that league title with just a few more wins here. And you know, it's kind of I grew up in Silverton, and like, you always knew that Woodburn was good at soccer, and then you kind of just like, we're okay, this school, we can kind of pick up our wins against them in other sports. And they're kind of turning things around over there, right? Like, Their boys program, their boys basketball program, solid. Their boys football, their football program, solid. They're turning themselves into a respectable, multifaceted sports school, and it's kind of cool to see. So, just Woodburn boys, 7-3 right now. Got a pretty nice point differential. I think their stock has also risen in my eyes. Austin or Wade?
I'm ready to roll.
Go for it, Wade.
I just have a couple, really three potentially. Starting with Southridge boys basketball, who I talked about a little bit earlier, but you know, they're a team that, you know, I think was 3 to 4 years ago. Their coach Phil Vessel took a year off. He took a year sabbatical, I think in 2019. The team ended up winning one game. Since then, they've had a couple of roughly 500 seasons, and this year, you know, they're, you know, Coach Vessel believes that they're continuing to move in the right direction. They're 10-2 to start the year. He'd be the first to tell you they haven't played a murderer's row when it comes to scheduling, but they played some good teams, so it's not all smoke and mirrors. This last week, they beat up on a couple Pacific Conference teams, Glencoe and Liberty, both pretty handily. You know, Glencoe is struggling this year, but Liberty is a, you know, a very, you know, respectable team to this point. So for them to beat them by 28 is pretty impressive. You know, they are doing it with a lot of, they only have two seniors on their team, but they have a handful of juniors, a couple more sophomores to get playing time, and a freshman who they're not afraid to put out there at times. He's not necessarily in their rotation per se right now, but he is somebody that they're not afraid to put out there, you know, if they need a bucket or two. But, you know, their team runs primarily, and has run for a couple of years now, between a couple of their guards. Carter Fortune is a junior who's been starting since his freshman year, was an all-league player last season, and he's somebody that they lean on significantly. Also, his running mate, Caden Gronig, who also is a junior, who's a slightly built guy. I think they list him at 5'10", and that's probably a max, having seen him on the court. He's also not a big guy by any means, but he plays bigger than his size. And I'll say one thing I'll say about that kid is, having watched him play against Glencoe, he does not fear anyone. And their coach mentioned that when I talked to him, that when he goes in the gym, you know, he knows that people look at him and they don't necessarily respect what he might bring to the table. But the fact is, you know, he's not afraid to go to the rim. He finishes with both hands. He has an ability to in traffic, you know, with spin and, you know, keeping the ball from his body, get balls up, and he can shoot from the outside a bit. So, you know, he's got a little bit of everything. And again, his probably biggest asset or attribute is the fact that he just does not afraid. He's not afraid to go up against bigger competition and you know, skilled teams. So between those two guards, and then a handful of bigs that, you know, I talked about with their coach aren't necessarily overly tall. I mean, they're not midgets by any means, but these kids are, you know, 6'5", 6'6". Even a couple of guys like that, Vitamir Petkov is a kid who is, you know, a top, a state qualifier in tennis. Now, you don't see that crossover too often, but a very good tennis player and also a pretty good basketball player. Brings athleticism and a little bit of size into the paint for them, and he backs up their starting post, Dante Scott, who also another guy who's athletic, who's not going to, you know, play a lot with their back to the basket, especially as they start getting into a little more of the thick of their schedule. Again, they haven't had it all that difficult at this point, and their coming games, they play Alloa next, and then they play at Westview. You know, Alloa is a team that's struggling, and Westview is a team actually that's not a bad basketball team. So that could actually be a really interesting game. Westview, I think, played Tualatin pretty tight, or lost by maybe 9 or 10 points last week, and scored 80, I think. So that Southwich Westview game could be pretty interesting this coming Friday. And then after that, then they've got to hit a tough stretch. They're going to play at Beaverton, they play home against Jesuit, and then they play at Mountainside. So three of arguably the best teams, at least on paper, in the Metro League, they're going to have to run into here in another week or so. But so far, so good for Southridge boys basketball. Beyond that, I talked about Banks girls basketball earlier. You know, they're just an impressive team this year, and they're exceeding expectations. I know they've gotten a little bit of ink, not just from us, but from other media outlets of late, due to the fact that they've kind of come out of nowhere. Some of that has to do with maybe them dropping into 3A, but I mentioned earlier, they're kind of worked their way through some of the 4A's better teams this year as well. So, you know, that's a team that that, you know, has a nice mixture of talent, be it upper and underclassmen. They've got five, I think, seniors on their roster, three or four. You know, right now they're getting by with, you know, defense. I mean, defense is where they always kind of hang their hat at Banks, even in the, with their previous coach, Brandon Bagley. You know, defense was a strong emphasis for them, as it is for most coaches and teams, but they really lean on it over there. And this team is probably one of the better defensive teams, if not the best defensive team in the 3A classification. And then they use a couple of players, you know, seniors. Alex Saunders is their leading scorer at this point. She's averaging maybe 18 points a game, I think, last I looked, and she's just under 6 foot. But she's somebody that they don't run plays for, and their coach is happy to tell you that. She gets her points on, you know, with hustle, with rebounding, second chance points, you know, cutting to the basket, things like that. And then beyond that, they use players like Madison Bixby, another senior. Madison Walker is one of their kind of, you know, posts that does a lot of the dirty work. And then freshman guard Haley Evans, who's been starting since her freshman year, is a key, and somebody who helped win the game versus Corbett last week. My understanding is she got a steal in kind of the waning seconds of that game, and then was able to make a pass and get a lay-in for her teammate with under 2 seconds to go, I think, to give them the 2-point win. So Banks girls basketball is going to be really interesting to watch. And they've gone from a team that probably was considered to be on the periphery of the top 10 starting the year, and they've worked their way up to the number one ranking. So Selfridge boys, Banks girls. And then real quickly, I give kind of a shout out to the Mountainside girls team, which has not, you know, is not a team that people will be thinking along the lines of them contending for anything of note towards the end of the year, just because they're so young. They also have a new coach, but they've won, I think, 6 or 7 games in a row. I'm actually want to look that up right now, because they started out the year pretty rough. I talked to their coach briefly. I watched them play Forest Grove and get beat pretty badly early in the season. And then they've just managed to win games. You know, they haven't been much like Southridge, hasn't played, you know, a murderer's row of competition, but they've won 8 games in a row. So they've improved their record to 9-3 after a 1-3 start. So shout out to Mountainside girls team for turning things around, building some momentum, and then now they're going to hit the wall. They're going to play at Beaverton, I think, this Wednesday, home against Jesuit on Friday. So good luck to them going forward. But to this point, 8 in a row, pretty impressive. Austin, you have some stock risers?
Yeah, I've got a couple, and they're a couple individuals, and they're both freshmen. Sticking with the Benson basketball flavor, Samara Macy, she's a freshman on the Benson team. This is the second time I saw Benson play, and for the second time, she was fantastic. She, against Jefferson, she led Benson in scoring. She put up 21 points. Yeah, she's just like, I saw her and I knew she was new to the Benson team, and I saw her playing, and I had no idea she was a freshman. I thought she was just a kid who transferred over, but then I looked at the roster and saw the 9, and I was like, wow, like, she just plays very smart. You know, she's always in the right spots. She's solid rebounder for being this kind of in between guard forward size. Yeah, no, she great driver to the rim. Like, she's everywhere. I mean, it's fantastic. And I've asked head coach Eric Knox about her players about her, and they all said one word. They all said a similar word. They all said amazing to describe her. And that's huge for Benson, because Benson's thing last year was they had absolutely no depth. They pretty much played the 5 starters. You know, they threw in a couple other girls because they needed a breather or were in foul trouble at some point, but they really had no depth. And now having Samara Macy here, you know, she's starting, you know, that allows them to have some breathing room here. There's a couple other girls coming off the bench. But it's having her that's, I think, kind of elevated Benson and given them a little bit higher expectation this year, and really, truly believing they can win a state title this year. Yeah, she's been great to watch. Switching to the boys' side, another freshman. I saw Benson and Jefferson boys playing. Benson won, but really impressed with Jefferson freshman Adrian Montague. You know, Jefferson was down the majority of the game, but it was kind of back and forth. They were down a few going into the fourth, and Adrian here just kind of went off. He had a couple huge three-pointers that I believe made the game I believe it was a 1 point game at one point because of him, 5'10" guard. And it was more than just the 3-pointers he was making. You know, he was setting his guys up in the point guard role. He was finding guys, initiating that offense. He's quick. It's just impressive to watch him. My first time seeing him, and it's the theme for this Jefferson team. It's pretty much completely new guys with Pat Strickland back coaching. He took a year sabbatical pretty much as well. He told me that he was following the Celtics around a little bit. He's got some connections obviously there. With some of the Portland connections on that Celtics coaching roster. But yeah, Strickland's back, a whole bunch of new guys. And really, the transition from Adrian to this Jefferson team, I think their stock is rising too. They lost to Benson, but it was a close game. Let's see, their first game of league season was against Grant, and they gutted that one out. I think as the further you go into the season, they might surprise some teams. You know, the teams that they have at the end of their league schedule here, they should probably be worried, because I think this Jefferson team, I mean, they've got one of the best coaches in the state with Pat Strickland. They've got a lot of talent. Pat Strickland said before the season started, he thinks he has the best freshman class in the PIL. So, yeah, no, I think it's going to be fun to watch Jefferson, kind of how they continue to get better, how they continue to gel. They've got another guy, TJ Latu, who transferred from De La Salle North Catholic. He knows what winning is like, and he knows what winning takes. Haven't been there. Sanborn Nelson comes off the bench. Sanborn Melson, sorry, with an M. He comes off the bench as a senior. Just a fantastic presence. He was one of their best football players. So, yeah, this Jefferson team, I think, is going to be a lot of fun here in league play. And I think they're going to surprise a couple of these teams and probably give one of them a loss that they did not expect. So, Jefferson boys, look out for them.
Well, there's some stock risers for the this past week. We'll have more of those for you next week. Do we want to get into? I talked a little bit in the beginning, in the opening, about doing getting in some predictions, which this is where we make friends and or lose them.
Right.
With that's the fun of it. Or coaches. So this we put it on the line here. So we briefly talked about this doing this before the pod. So. It could be a little off the cuff, if you will, but I think some of us know who the better teams are in our leagues, and you know, who knows, maybe somebody will surprise us. But I think somebody should start that. And
I could start it.
Austin, he's on a heater, so we'll keep him going. So Austin, fire away at any predictions you may want to make about your leagues.
Yeah. You know, I'll hit the PIL ones first. On the boys' side, if I'm going to pick a winner, I am going to take the easy route here and pick Lincoln. They're the best team on paper right now in the rankings. They're 5. The next closest team in the rankings is Cleveland at 17. You know, I don't think that's a true reflection of where the PIL teams are at, but I just Lincoln has so much size and athleticism behind that size that. I think it's going to be difficult for these PIL teams because a lot of them really can't match with that size. They might be able to match athletes-wise, but not so much the size part. So I like Lincoln to win this. I think Roosevelt could definitely give them a run for their money. I think Benson is very good as well. And Cleveland, I don't know. Cleveland has Jackson Cooper, who's one of the bigger guys, one of the best big men. So Cleveland might be able to do something against Lincoln. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Cleveland and Lincoln, I believe, actually already played. I think it was a close game that Lincoln won. So rematch might be one that I want to go check out. Flipping over to the girls, I mentioned it in previous podcasts. This is a two-team league. No offense to all the other PIL girls squads, but Benson and Jefferson are just at a different level. And they played last Saturday, and Benson won. So I'm going to say Benson wins the league. They're all young. Benson and Jefferson, there's still a bunch of young players on it, but Benson just has a little bit more experience, a little bit more time on the court together. So I'm going to go Benson. And just to kind of put home that fact that this is a two-team league, probably the third best team, I would say, is Lincoln and Benson, or it is Cleveland. And Benson beat Cleveland 81-34 to open up league play. So. Yeah, the next time Benson and Jefferson girls play, definitely something you want to check out. When is that going to be? That's February 7th at Jefferson, so circle that one on your calendars if you're a big hoops fan. That'll be a lot of fun. These matches have always been fun the past couple seasons. So that's it for PIL. I can go to Mount Hood and then we can talk Andy's perspective.
Yeah, I'll talk a little Mount Hood with you. So
yeah, what you think?
Well, you know, so far, obviously Clackamas is jumping out as a really strong team through the first 10 games. You know, they won all 10 of them, but that's non-league stuff, and you know, it's always a different beast going on when you get in there. Now, I've seen a couple of these other Mount Hood teams as well a little bit in Gresham, and I think I've seen a little bit of Barlow. You know, so I know that there's definitely some talent there, and there's a Central Catholic team that's hiding in here at 4-6, but I think they might be a little bit better than that 4-6 record. So, you know, I can say from my perspective, you know, when I saw Clackamas play, they're a solid team that doesn't necessarily have one guy who's going to dominate. They've got a couple different guys who can step up. I mean, I was kind of writing everything up, and I kind of had all these, you know, notes and stars and everything, and then I realized Parker Harrison on this Clackamas team had a very quiet 20 points right in front of me. And, you know, I guess it just, they've got a lot of guys who can play very well. I'm not sure which guy is the one who's going to be the total takeover dude who, you know, wins you the league. In a league with, you know, at least the guys that I've seen up close, Isaiah Pippa-White over at Gresham. Gosh, the Barlow, Jalen Atkins at Barlow. You know, you've got some real star power there. I'm sure Central Catholic's got some of it as well. You know, so it's always nice to have those takeover guys. I'm not 100% sure Clackamas has one. Garrett Struby could be on there. Parker Harrison, maybe. Cooper Belts, maybe. But I think it's kind of like one of those situations in the NFL where you say, you know, if you've got two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks, kind of a deal. So, you know, pointing out all these different guys who could be that person, I think that just kind of shows you that there's not one known entity star that they'll go to, which could be good on some nights, because, you know, when that star's off, that's a problem. But it could also provide some sort of lower ceiling for this team in league play. I'm not sure, you know, we'll see. And then I don't know. So you've got Sandy and David Douglas, who are also looking pretty good to start out. Yeah. So Austin, what are your thoughts here? I know you've seen Central Catholic up close. You've seen a couple of these teams.
Yeah, Mount Hood is, first off, ridiculous here, at least from the non-league perspective. You've got six teams that are either 15 or better in the OSA rankings, right? Which, I mean, that's not what it was like last year, if I'm remembering right. You know, I if I'm going to, you know, make a prediction, I'm really throwing darts, but I think Barlow might be able to pull this off just because Jalen Atkins, I think, is an incredible talent. Central Catholic has a lot.
Also in mind. Yeah. I think Barlow, they're a really solid team.
Yeah. But I could see reasons for all these. I mean, Central Catholic has studs and Isaac Carr and the Paschel brothers who are there now. That they're young, but they're extremely talented. There's a reason they're at Central Catholic. So Gresham's got, you know, you said it, Isaiah Pippa-White. They're great. You know, I'm a little not sold on Sandy and Clackamas just from the non-league slate. They've won the games, you know, they've won the games put in front of them, and that's all they can do. So we'll see if they'll get tested in the Mount Hood. But yeah, I think it's going to be tough every single night, pretty much. I mean, I think Nelson might even be a little bit under the radar. They almost beat West Lynn. Right. I believe they had a halftime lead Westland's first game after the LSI. So, yeah, Mount Hood on the boys' side is, and the girls' side too. I mean, Andy, I don't know if you got anything else for the boys. You can switch over to the girls.
Oh, I mean, I was just going to, you know, one note on Barlow that I'm remembering now from watching that game. You know, not just Jalen Atkins, but also Mason Bierbrower. He was you know, he's just a sophomore, but he's 6'5", and he plays pretty strong inside for, you know, being kind of a younger kid. So having a really talented guard like Jalen Atkins, who's going to, you know, really be the focal point of your offense is great. But having that second option who can score down low for you and kind of give a different look, that's, you know, that's a good reason why, you know, Barlow might be another team to kind of you know, to kind of put some stock into, I'll say. But no, yeah, go ahead and let me know what you're thinking on the girls' side.
Yeah, the girls, girls, I don't think will take as long because this is the two-team race.
A little bit.
If we're being honest here, Barlow's 4, Clackamas 5 in OSA rankings right now. Then the next highest team is Nelson at 25. You know, there's just not the depth of talent on the girls' side because I guess they all decided to go to Barlow and Clackamas. but yeah, no, Clackamas, obviously, Andy can speak to, very good. Barlow also has Division I talent on it. I'm looking right now when they play because it's going to determine the league title.
Yeah.
January 27th, they're at Barlow.
January 27th.
Yeah, and then February 21st, they're at Clackamas. Those are going to be the two that you want to see for the girls' Mount Hood race. You know, Barlow's got, we've talked about her before, but Kennedy Schuler, she's going to Oregon State, fantastic guard. But there's all kinds of other great players on this team. Annie Koenig, other solid player for them. They were in the state title game last year. You know, they did just lose to Beaverton, kind of had a rough first half. But, I mean, the final score is 45-34. So Barlow was able to bring it back a little bit in the second half. They just kind of need to figure out how to play for a full 32 with that Beaverton team. But yeah, this is going to be two showdowns to determine the Mount Hood on the girls' side.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Clackamas. I've seen them a couple times now. And, you know, they're in my zone. So call it a homer pick if you want. That's fine. it's a crazy deep team. In, you know, not just talented, but they've got a lot of talent. They've got it coming off the bench, too. I mean, you know, they've got two seniors on this team. Both of them are D1 commits. So you got Ryan Mogul, who's going to Portland. You got Eliza Burke, their post, who's going to Davidson. And then you've got, you know, Jazzy Davidson, the top sophomore recruit in the country. You've got, let's see, Avery Peterson, Sarah Barhum, you got Allie Roden, Reese Mogul. Dylan Mogul isn't even playing right now. I mean, you got just crazy amounts of talent in the sophomore class on this team. All of these, I would be surprised to see all of those, you know, star sophomores not also be D1 players. It's just a crazy amount of talent on this team. So I'm going to go with them. You know, they do have 4 losses on the season, but all 4 of them have come to out-of-state teams. So they are still perfect in Oregon. And they just beat Oregon City, who I, you know, covered before and was just convinced that this is a really solid team in Oregon City. And, you know, Clackamas beat them by 40. So, yeah, it's just the Clackamas is looking super, super good right now. So it's going to take a lot for me to not put my chips behind them in the Mount Hood Conference.
Yeah, for the record, I'm going with Clackamas as well. I don't, they might not lose until the state tournament. So
we'll see. Speaking of Oregon City, I'll just kind of transition over to the Three Rivers League real quick. Yeah, the Girls Three Rivers League, and actually, Wade, I'm going to need your help on this one a little bit. You know, Oregon City girls, they're looking pretty good, but then that Clackamas loss kind of throws into some questions, you know, exactly where they're at. We'll see. Oregon City's kind of, they've shown really good promise at certain spots, and, you know, they've dropped a couple games here, too, that kind of make you wonder where the ceiling is. Lake Ridge, the same way. Keely O'Halloran is probably one of the best players in this league for Lake Ridge, but I'm not 100% sure if the team itself is going to be able to top Tualatin, who I see is the tops in the league in terms of the rankings and in the overall record at 11-1. So Wade, what can you tell me about this Tualatin team, and are they going to win the league, this Tualatin girl team?
Well, I mean, I would I would say that they are the favorite to win the league at this point. They're well coached. They have a nice mix of talent, but they have some solid seniors with some, you know, Olivia Pulavati. I probably butchered her name, but she's back this year after suffering a knee injury and missing all of last season. But she's a Nevada commit. But they actually benefited in some ways with her being gone last year, not last year directly, but indirectly to this year, because it allows some of the younger kids to get more playing time and actually season themselves for this year. So, you know, they've got between their three captains, who I just mentioned, and then Tabby Searle and Anna Sherman, they're going to be formidable. Plus, they have a lot of history on their side. They're, you know, they're a proud program that's had a lot of success over the last, you know, decade and a half. And they're kind of trying to get back to that now. I think they're still, the verdict is a little out on them because they still have yet to play a significant portion of talented teams in the state, but they played some good ones and they've had some good success. So I think Tualatin is probably, in my opinion, the favorite. And then Lake Ridge, you know, would probably be in there, but you know more about those teams than I do. But yeah, Tualatin for sure is a team that I feel like is, if you had to put your money on now to win the Three Rivers League, I would definitely take Tualatin.
Yeah, and on the boys' side, I think there's a pretty clear front runner as well in West Lynn. Although, you know, Tualatin gave them a heck of a game. They gave them a better game than anyone else at the LSI. So, you know, that could be a fun one to watch as well. But yeah, I mean, for right now, I'm definitely putting my eggs in the West Lynn basket. For the boys' side of things, Jackson Shellstad, I think, will be player of the year again. You know, I think that one, I'm going to be really surprised if West Lynn does not win that league and, you know, eventually go on to win a state title. But I'm willing to hear, you know, other arguments there if you've got them, Wade.
Well, we can start there. I actually am going to be interested to see how that plays out, because if I really wanted to rock the boat, I'd make an argument for Tualatin right now. I just don't think I can get there. I mean, having seen what West Lynn did at the Les Schwab and then kind of understanding the makeup of their team, I feel like for them to lose that league, they're going to have to probably lose 2 to 3 games. And while I could see Tualatin beating them at some point during the league season, I just feel like between a Tiger, Tualatin, maybe even a sneaky team, you know, in there somewhere, you know, they're going to maybe beat themselves up to the extent to where they can't catch a West Lynn in the final league standings. But I wouldn't be shocked to see Tualatin beat West Lynn in one of their two games this year, just because they've got a lot of talent and they're only going to get better as the season goes on. You know, those kids were, a lot of the kids on that team were, with the exception of Josiah Lake, who was one of their key contributors last year. You know, they were younger talent, mm-hmm. So they weren't playing quite as much as they might, as you would have liked or would have thought, based on them winning a state title. But the bulk of those, their core is gone. And so with guys like Jaden Stepp and the aforementioned Josiah Lake, and then guys like A.J. Nolan, who didn't get a ton of run last year, he was an incredible athlete, all-state defender in football. I think honorable mention wide receiver in football. You know, he's getting a lot more action. Jaden Fortier is a big post presence, big body in there and athletic as well. Ryan Schleicher, who didn't get a lot of time last year, but is a very solid guy at the point. You know, there's Jack Wagner comes off the bench. Richie Anderson is a big body that can come off the bench. So, you know, they've got a lot of players. They've got some depth, plus they have some talent. So would I be surprised if they beat West Lynn again this year? No. Would I be shocked if they somehow won the league? No, but I wouldn't expect them to do it, and nor am I picking them to win the Three Rivers League. Beyond that, I can shift over to a couple of my other leagues. The Metro League, from a boys' standpoint, I think pretty much begins and ends with Beaverton. I just have a hard time seeing anybody being able to overcome them in league play. They're just too deep. They have too much talent, you know, with some of the guys they brought in this year to the core they already had. You know, they were a good basketball team last year. And then, you know, with guys like Aiden Rice, Brady Rice, Max Elmgren, all those guys can shoot the lights out. And then you mix in Jalen Childs, who transferred from Sunset, who was an all-league player last year and great player. Probably his, a D1 player as well. And then you bring in Chance Winner, who's 6'11", an athletic 6'11" junior, who's still kind of finding his way. That team's just kind of coming together. So, you know, where they go beyond the league, it's yet to be determined, but I think they're going to be a factor in the state championship run as well. But as far as the Metro League goes, I just have a hard time seeing anybody in that league being able to hang with them for the entirety of a Metro League schedule. Beyond that, you know, I mentioned Southridge. They're going to be interesting, and they're going to win their share of games for sure. Mountainside is young, but they also have a lot of nice pieces, led by Braden Bowe, the sophomore who started last year as a freshman, or if he wasn't a starter, he was, you know, a guy who played starting minutes for the most part. That's a team to watch too. So Southridge, Mountainside are interesting. Jesuits always interesting, although kind of their upside is a little bit in question to me this year. So really that's like I said, the Metro League starts and ends with Beaverton on the boys side for sure. And then going through the Pacific Conference, you know, that conference is going to be super interesting to me just because I just don't know who's good and who isn't. This is just not a knock in the league, so I'm not trying to beat them up, but like they just don't have a lot of top end talent in that league. So while it might not be, there might not be any threats from that league to make any waves in the state playoffs, it's going to be super interesting and competitive just from the interleague standpoint, because I almost feel like, I mean, I think anybody in that league could beat anybody in that league on a given night, and how it ends up shaking out, I don't know. I mean, Sherwood is the favorite to start the year, but then you've got a bunch of teams that are very similar, be it Liberty, be it Forest Grove, be it McMinnville. It's just kind of a tough and some way weird league. So, I mean, if I wanted to play it safe, I'd go with Sherwood to win that league. If I wanted to get outside the lines, I think I might go Liberty. And that, having said that, I haven't seen McMinnville and I've heard some things about them, but I it's not as though they're going to be great. So, yeah, I would take Sherwood. I'd put my money on Sherwood. And then, if I was going to play the odds, my best bet, if you would, I would take Liberty, and who knows, maybe Forest Grove sneaks in there. Like I said, it's anybody's game in that league for sure.
The boys side of the Pacific Conference for basketball is such a, it's so weird. Cause like we're recording on January 10th. There are three teams that are 500, three other teams that are below 500. And then you've got that Liberty team that's like 6-4 and has like one of the few positive point differentials in the league. I'll take Liberty to upset Sherwood, just because they're the closest thing to do it. But I mean, yeah, it's wild. And then on the girls' side, Wade, where would you put your smart money for the Pacific Conference?
Well, I mean, early in the year or prior to the year, it was a no brainer, and it was Sherwood. But with, you know, Ava Hayden being an all-state player, I mean, she's been out since the middle of December. And as fate would have it, I very recently contacted her, and she is out for a minimum of probably another month.
Oh, geez.
So she, I mean, she's essentially, I mean, out of the equation until maybe the playoffs. So, you know, their team, I mean, and she's a phenomenal player. So, I mean, that's not like just losing like one of three solid players in your team. That's hands down, without any question, their best player, and a player who is one of the best in the entire state, who's already committed to the University of Iowa, you know, as a junior. So that just shakes it all up. And, you know, having seen Century a week ago, you know, they're a kind of a young, fun team to watch. But, you know, the Pacific Conference in the girls' side is very similar to the boys, where outside of what Sherwood was supposed to be, you know, there's not a lot of high-end talent in that league. Forest Grove is one of the teams that has, in recent years, has been either at or near the top of the standings. And they've got a new, younger team this year. And they got out to a kind of a nice start, and they've struggled a little bit since. But, you know, I suspect they're going to get better and better as the season goes on. You know, I haven't seen Newburgh. Glencoe struggling. Liberty, you know, seems much like the rest of the league, where you're going to get some things on a night that are good, going to get some things that aren't. They're young, and again, not a lot of, you know, top end talent in that league. So I mean, honestly, I think I might still take Sherwood to win the league. But I think those next 2, 3, 4 teams behind that could all just, you know, jockey between anywhere from 2 to 5, maybe even 2 to 6. What are your thoughts, Tanner, on the girls' side of things?
So I have only seen the current top two teams, Century and Newburgh, when they were losing. I caught Newburgh when they lost to Canby kind of at the beginning of the season. They lost by like 20 points and just, you know, looked out of sorts against Canby's press. But like since then, they've, you know, collected 7 wins and look like a respectable team on paper. And then Century, I saw, or maybe I saw Century during a win. I saw them at the interstate shootout up at Lake Oswego. I think I might have caught the tail end of them beating Sandy. So, you know, they look good. They didn't look like Sterling. They didn't look perfect. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of a crapshoot. And you still think, like, even without their best player, Sherwood is that team? Like, are they that deep?
Well, I just think that they have the pieces around them. It's not, I mean, it's hard to go from, you know, a top player in the state, a Division I post, losing that person and then saying, you know, the next players, I mean, there's a significant drop off, obviously, and there's nobody else in her league when it comes to talent, but they have players and they have some experience and they're still the highest rated team. And they've been without her since, I think, December 16th. So, you know, they've played, what's that, 3+ weeks without her, and they've managed to maintain a, you know, a OSA ranking of 15. And if I'm looking, I'm trying to get into their schedule now. So essentially, since she left, they are 2-4. Not great. Yeah. They've lost 4 in a row, but they've also played in that stretch the 2 wins over teams that they absolutely should be, which are Hillsborough and Glencoe. But then they lost to Beaverton. Yeah. They lost to Lake Ridge, of course, sure. They lost to Willamette, who I know nothing about. And then they lost to Sheldon by 24. So, you know, those are against good teams. Now, we'll see what they do this week. They're playing. Actually, I'm going to go see them tonight. They're going to play at Forest Grove. So I'll get a pretty good idea as to what to expect from them going forward, because Forest Grove, like I said, is a respectable team. So what Sherwood was able to do and how they may look against the Vikings will tell me a lot. But, you know, based on what I've seen from that league, and again, the funny thing is, I don't want to take anything away from the Century, but, and I love their story because they were horrific last year. And the fact that they've come in here and they've been able to win 8 games already, and, you know, with a new coach, a fair amount of the same players, but very young, that's cool. I like it. But I also know, just based on having seen their team and what they're working with, that's not a team that, like, put it this way, if Century wins the Pacific Conference Championship, I don't even know what I would say. I mean, even with the state of that league right now, like that would be incredible. If they were to do that, then their new head coach, Kyle Brayton, should be coach of the year in a state. That would be incredible. So I don't know. I still would lean on Sherwood if I had to, but again, we'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, love it.
Beyond that, I'm not sure. Now I'm forgetting where I touched. Oh, Beaverton or Metro League girls. That'll be a super interesting race because Jesuit and Beaverton are basically going to duke that out. And that'll be really fun to watch those teams go at it this year. Having said that, I brought up Mountainside earlier this year as kind of a similar to Century, to where they're dealing with a lot of young kids, new coach. They're 9-3, but you know, those wins aren't coming against great opposition, but again, solid and impressive. You know, get your wins when you're a young team. You just get your wins. So you build experience. So you build confidence. But Jesuit, Beaverton, Southridge off to a 7-5 start. They're ranked 14th. I haven't seen them, so I can't speak much to them. But, you know, when you're dealing with the Metro League this year, Jesuit and Beaverton are, you know, they're upper crust in the state. So to say a team like Southridge or Mountainside may not be able to compete, or Sunset or Westview may not be able to compete maybe for a league title, isn't a knock on them so much, just more of a compliment to Jesuit and Beaverton and what they have this year. Beaverton obviously being the defending state champs and having three of their four best players from last year's team also there. So Metro League seems like a two-team race. Pacific Conference we touched on. Three Rivers League we already talked about. I know on the boys side of things we talked about, do we hit all those? We talked about the Three Rivers League and the boys.
6A. Yeah, I think you know, that's a lot of the 6A stuff. Obviously 5A, we've got Northwest Oregon Conference there, which kind of touches all of us a little bit. From my perspective on the boys side, Wilsonville, they are leading things out pretty well. Looking like a state title contender after, or a repeat state title contender, I should say. They're looking super good. Let's see, they're at 10-2 overall, 4-0 in league play. LaSalle Prep, they're also looking pretty solid with Nick Robertson leading the way there for them. We also did have a little bit of news here from Putnam recently. Their coach Greg Griffin resigned, so they'll have a new coach coming out. I'm planning to see this team later this week, kind of see how they're approaching going forward from there. But they're sitting at 1-3 in the league right now, and I'm not sure how much they're gonna. A coaching change in the middle of the season might not help them win the league, but who knows? It could also provide the spark that sends them skyrocketing up the standings there. And then Milwaukee isn't looking great so far, but Donnie Law is a veteran coach and his son Logan Law is a star player, so they could beat any team in here on any given day, but I don't know that they're necessarily contenders. I think this is going to probably come down to Wilsonville and LaSalle Prep, but if you guys know anything else on the boys' side, I am happy to hear it from other Northwest Oregon folks.
Yeah, I don't have much to say specifically about Park Rose, but they only lost by 12 to Wilsonville, which feels like a pretty good improvement from what they were last year. They're 2-1. They beat Canby and Putnam. And really, I haven't paid too much attention to Park Rose, but I saw they beat David Douglas. I've talked about liking David Douglas a lot. David Douglas is a team that beat Tigard, who is a very good team. So I don't know. There could be some there at Park Rose. They're ninth in the OSA ranking, and it could be a fun matchup with them and LaSalle Prep and get that rematch with Wilsonville. I don't know. I'm going to hopefully see Park Rose sometime soon on the boys' side.
Canby boys are not going to contend for a league title this year. If they do, something has gone horribly wrong with other teams in the league. But they're in the middle of a rebuilding team. They beat Hillsborough, who they should have beat. They lost to Hood River Valley. They lost to, I think they lost to Park Rose was their other league loss. They're just gonna, focus on growing this year, and any wins they get this year are gravy.
Now, how about the Canby girls? Because they're pretty solid, aren't they?
They are solid, but they also lost to a couple of teams that I thought they should have beaten. They lost to a 5-6 Westview team. Granted, Westview's up at 6A, so maybe they have some of that 6A swagger they brought down to 5A with them. But they also lost a surprising one to Hillsborough, who I think are now 4-7. Canby went into that game 9-0. So I am kind of, my faith in Canby girls is shaken a little bit. I would need to see them in person again to kind of get a sense of what really happened. But, they have a stiff test ahead of them. They play their next game against LaSalle Prep tonight, so that'll let me know if that Hillsborough game was fluky, or if they're just kind of end up upper middle class of the Northwest Oregon Conference.
LaSalle and Putnam are both really solid teams on the girls' side as well. I know that for the LaSalle Prep girls, since they're playing Canby, I'll start there. They've got Ella Whedon and Emma Buchanan as two seniors who are leading the way, 9-4 to start the season. They won, one, two, three, four, five, six. They won just a bunch of holiday tournament games. They won their POA Holiday Classic bracket. They struggled against Jesuit, But, you know, LaSalle Prep's been off to a pretty good start. And then Putnam as well. They actually beat LaSalle Prep a few weeks back. And Putnam has been looking really good as well behind Emma McDonald, Kayla Casabucci, Riley Greenleaf, and they've been doing it without one of their star players in Riley Lehman. So, you know, as Putnam can kind of start getting back and get all the way healthy, I think that they could be potentially a, you know, league title winning team from here. And then the Wilsonville team that I talked about before too, also off to a really solid start here. So I'm excited to see what this race kind of turns out to be. It does sort of seem like the playoff spots have different, you know, separated a little bit, where you've got the top four and the bottom four in this league. But yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see which one wins it. I'm going to put a tab on LaSalle Prep just kind of randomly, but I'm going to grab them as the team that I think will end up winning the title, but I might be wrong. Who knows? It's kind of nice to not know.
Well, that pretty much mops it up, isn't it? That takes care of our predictions. I have nothing to add to the NWOC. Neither Hillsborough School will be contending. The boys are rebuilding. They got a new coach. They're rebuilding, so they're tough start to the year. They're going to be working forward from here. And the girls, you know, okay. They're doing okay. They got that big win over Canby, and they've got some young talent, but neither will be contending for a league title. So I recuse myself from NWOC. In mock predictions.
Well, I know Tanner is off for the moment here, but I'll go ahead and jump in for him for a 5A thing and just say Woodburn is going to go ahead. The Woodburn boys are going to win their league. You know, cause he talked quite a bit about them before. Oh, he's back now. So Tanner, do you want to back that up with Woodburn boys? Do you want to take that prediction on?
Oh yeah, they're going to win the Mid-Willamette Conference title.
Perfect. There we go.
All right, cool. There we go. Done and done.
The last guaranteed one, just a quick trip onto the Tri-Valley Conference. I think Gladstone probably has the inside track to win both the boys and the girls side. On the girls side, it's actually going to be a pretty good race, I think. Madras is a good team. Crook County is a good team. The Dalles are number 8 right now in the OSAA rankings. Malala's number 7. So the Tri-Valley Conference on the girls' side could end up being super good. I think Gladstone's going to probably take it. But, you know, I've seen this Madras team up close, and they're pretty solid. Tanner, do you have anything to add about Malala? Tanner's muted, but he's saying something very interesting right now, I can tell.
What an idiot. I know, what a fool I've been. No, I don't have anything to report on Malala. I haven't seen them in person yet. But I think Gladstone is probably the safe bet there. But, you know, Malala has beaten more teams than they've lost to. So I think that portends good as you look at the league schedule. And, like, the Tri-Valley Conference, not the strongest conference at 4A for the girls. I think, you know, it could be anybody's conference title to grab. But I think just looking at the records, Gladstone 10-2, that's like a pretty safe bet to make. And, you know, ranked within the top 10. I think there's your eventual Tri-Valley Conference champs.
Yeah. And then, on the boys' side, Gladstone, and, you know, I think it's even maybe weaker for the Tri-Valley Conference on the boys' side. Gladstone is the highest-ranked team in the actual, like, OSA and the coaches' polls at number 10. So, you know, not any state title contenders probably in there, but could make for a pretty solid race. I know Madras beat the Banks boys' team a couple days ago, or, you know, during a holiday tournament there. Estacada's got some good pieces, you know, so it could be a good little race there, but I don't have too much on them. I haven't seen the Gladstone boys up close since last year, so I don't have too much on them, but, you know, 7-4 start is pretty solid. So before, I'm gonna, yeah.
Before we move off of any 4A competitions, I did want to scoot on back over to the Oregon West Conference, where the North Marion boys are hanging out. Last year, they lost in the first round of the playoffs to, I think it was Philomath. And they were outsized, like, big time. Philomath is just, like, a school full of big kids who are bullies in the paint and will eat you alive. So I don't know if North Marion is going to, you know, out physical anybody in the paint, especially in that league where you also have Cascade and State and just like solid 4A programs. But if they can steal a win off of one, off of each of those three teams, I think the rest of the league will cannibalize itself enough that you might see North Marion sneak into a Oregon West Conference title. So they're kind of the my dark horse pick to win that league's title.
Well, I think we're what, an hour, well, well over an hour in. Probably should cut this one at the 4A cord. I know Tanner could talk for hours on his 1, 2, and 3A schools, and I would simply just say Banks and Banks in the 3A. I'll take them in the those two in the Coastal Range League. But outside of that, I think we're done. Is there anything else somebody has to add this week? Any news? Any predictions? Any?
I think I'll just add that I don't have any 3A schools, just 2A and 1A for me. So,
well. You're aspiring for 3A schools. I know that. So maybe that's, I got ahead of myself. All right. Let's call it quits. That's another From the Sidelines podcast. Actually, if we want to talk about things I hate, I forgot. It's been a couple of weeks since I've hated anything or at least vocalized it. Trying to think what I might hate right now. Oh, you know what I hate? I hate the people who repeatedly, if you didn't know any better, you would say from the start of the Trailblazers season to now, like people have either liked or hated Damian Lillard like five or six different times. Like 2 weeks ago, the whole city had a complete and utter love fest for Damian Lillard as he broke the career scoring, franchise scoring record. And then 1 week later, people are like, guy's overrated. They should think about trading him. They might be able to get that some things. I'm like, are you crazy? Those people, I hate those people. It makes no sense whatsoever. To take, say, let's trade Damian Lillard. He's, you could argue he's having one of the best seasons he's ever had overall, averaging like what, 28 points a game, like six or seven assists, like five rebounds. You know, he's doing more than he maybe ever has across the board. Plus, he's still really good. He's with a young bunch of young players, and the Blazers will be fine. Nobody thought they were going to win a title anywhere, so, or this year anyways. So how about we just quit hating Damian Lillard every 2 weeks, and then I don't have to hate you in turn. That's what I hate. All right, that's it. From the Sidelines podcast, another week in the books, and we will see everybody again, or hear, you'll hear us next week.